Hello and welcome to Storytime with Tom and Mike. My name's Tom.
Yeah, this is Mike.
I said it weird, Mike. I said my name's Tom. I never say that.
So, I heard you. My name's Mike. Be jealous because you're not me. I don't fucking have any idea what that's supposed to mean. No, but nobody be jealous. Seriously, there's no reason. Besides my hair, maybe that might be the one thing. I don't know. Sure. It's pretty curly. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. It wasn't anything against bald people. I didn't mean that like that.
I didn't take it that way.
Cool. Cool, because yeah. I didn't mean it that way.
I didn't even think of that until
I saw Judas Priest last week.
You saw Judas Priest live, or you just happened to see him at like a mall or?
Yeah, I was. Rob they came out for the, they came into around. The store. No, I went to see him in Reading.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How was that?
Pretty awesome. There's a band that opened up for them. What the fuck was the name of them again? It was some Swedish metal band. You know what? I gotta look it up now because, like, normally I'd be like, "Oh yeah, I can remember them exactly like they were," and for some reason, my brain is like, "Nope, not gonna tell you what it was." Sabaton.
What?
You ever heard of them?
Who?
Sabaton.
Sabaton. No, I've heard of Sabotage.
That's a Sabaton. Maybe. Maybe I'll feature them as my song of the week one of these times.
Okay.
Once everybody's forgotten, you know.
Yeah.
All those people.
It's my job to occasionally remind you and therefore the audience that for our Christmas episode, we're going to be watching The Santa Claus with the wonderful Tim Allen.
Ugh. I am not looking forward to that,
but
I digress.
But I promise to sweeten the deal with a viewing of Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, as you may recall.
You know, another one that I thought of too that would be a lot of like a Tim Allen palate cleanser is Jingle All the Way.
Well, yeah, Jingle All the
definitely
Way.
Definitely a Christmas movie. Definitely a classic with Turbo Man and Sinbad and.
Well, we talked about this two episodes ago, I think.
Yeah.
This very,
I don't fucking remember.
This very run of thinking. And Jimmy's going to be like, Jimmy's like the litmus for this podcast. Like, he's like, yeah, you fuckers talked about that already.
Yeah. He'll let me know specifically.
Yeah.
He'll be like, you stupid shit. That's what I love about him.
Mike, it's time to play Whose Dick Is It Anyway?
Uh-oh.
This is the game where you have to choose the correct penis or be damned to have it fuck you for all eternity.
Wow. That's a real win-win.
Yeah. You gotta sort out whose is whose by taste and feel. You can't use your eyes.
Uh-oh. I just ate a chicken and cheddar sandwich that I made. I hope it doesn't mess up my taste buds.
As long as it wasn't like a Chipotle sandwich, because that would disturb the genitals.
I did have Dijon mustard because it was a sharp cheddar cheese, and I thought they paired well together. And I used a product that was brought to my attention called Mike's Amazing Mayonnaise.
Mike's Amazing Mayonnaise.
Yeah, I can tell you that according to the label and from what I gathered, it was from a company named Mike's and it was mayonnaise.
Okay.
Was it amazing?
Well, I mean, it's aioli, I don't know how you improve upon the basic mayonnaise.
Well, I would disagree with that because I think Hellman's for me has always been the gold standard, but Duke's adds something to it that just makes it taste way better to me.
What? Do you know what it's at? What's
no,
added to
no
it?
Fucking idea.
Like, because my question would be, at what point does it stop being mayonnaise? If that's the case, if you're adding things to it, it's no longer mayonnaise, it's a sauce.
Maybe it was
just to say that mayonnaise is already a sauce.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think of it as a condiment.
But I mean, isn't a sauce a condiment?
Not strictly, but yes. I mean, I would agree that like barbecue sauce is a condiment.
Well, if you think about it,
but I wouldn't say spaghetti sauce is a condiment.
But so,
but it could be with mozzarella sticks. So,
but sauce, I mean, spaghetti sauce is specifically called sauce. First of all,
also
I want
barbecue
to point,
sauce.
I want to point that out. So yes, they are both sauces. Indubitably so. But also
indubitably.
Indubitably. I just
any fucking powdered wigs up in here.
I just feel that if you have like any sort of food item that adds a layer of liquid to the food, like a lubricant to the food, that's a kind of a condiment. Or that's a kind of a sauce. Well, okay, so I think I got lost in my own question, because I was trying to determine what's the difference between a condiment and a sauce. And you're right, spaghetti sauce would not be a condiment unless it was used as marinara sauce for dipping sticks. But I would still argue that that's a sauce. So spaghetti sauce cannot be a condiment.
Well, like, you know, I feel like mostly anything that goes on pasta, sauce related, it's probably not. Mostly not. I mean, because marinara, I don't know, that's tough. Because, like, you wouldn't dip shit in pesto.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this. Aside from, like, the normal, like, sprinkling of cheese, do you add anything to a meatball sub? Do you add any condiments like peppers or anything like that? I know some people like to add stuff to their meatball subs.
I think it depends on the place. Like sometimes for Subway, I'll put banana peppers on my stuff.
All right. Now but, that's a condiment. Banana peppers are a condiment, but they're not a sauce. Man, we're getting out in the woods here with
that's
these
true.
Condiment issues.
that is true.
We have hit the weeds. There's so many
chopped
condiments.
Onions, definitely a condiment.
Yes.
Definitely not a sauce.
Not a sauce.
Yeah.
So I stand deeply corrected. Deeply and profoundly corrected.
I found a product today that I had no idea it ever existed, and maybe somebody has heard of it. And I'm going to ask around, obviously, outside of the podcast, but I was standing...
Well, we know how communicative our listener base is.
Yeah, right. If somebody came forward with something about this, other than possibly Jimmy or my brother, you know, then I'd be like, whoa, what the fuck? But I was standing talking to a lady that used to be my brother's third, fourth grade teacher. I don't remember. She's known me since I was in kindergarten. I used to run up to her and grab her around like the like her calves and like yell her name to her and hug her and stuff when I was little. And as I grew older, I got to not work with her, but work in the same place that she worked at and everything. And now I run into her periodically. So I stopped to talk to her today. And as a consequence of me stopping to talk to her, I saw this product called Gripe Water.
Gripe.
Gripe. G-R-I-P-E, as in like complaining, whining, you know, griping about something, bitching about it.
Okay.
Never heard of it before in my fucking life. It's apparently some kind of a product to give to babies for like colic and hiccups and stuff like that. Never fucking heard of it before. I just thought it was a funny name for something like gripe water. Why not just call it quit your bitching water or something like that.
What does it have, like aspirin in it? Like baby aspirin?
No fucking idea what the ingredients were. Unfortunately, I didn't have time to pull it off the shelf and look at it. But I do know that the original flavor is a dollar less than this one other flavor. And it like basically says it does the same thing. It wasn't like extra strength or anything else. I think the other flavor was called like Fantastic or something like that. It was so fucking weird.
So it doesn't come in grape?
No, like, I guess, you know, you don't want to confuse somebody and ask for gripe water.
You're already going to confuse them by asking for gripe water. I mean, they're going to be like, gripe water?
Oh, yeah, here we go. There's one called Original, And it says it relieves occasional stomach discomfort from gas, colic, fussiness, and hiccups. I don't think discomfort and stomach or stomach discomfort comes from fussiness. I think it's the other way around. But it says free of dyes, alcohol, and parabens. Obviously, the shit you're giving to your baby is free of alcohol, I would think. Yeah, because trust me, assume. Babies and alcohol do not mix. The one's called Original Gripe Water, and it's the number one selling brand, which I really feel like might be because it's the only one. And then the other one, the flavor is called Right Time.
Right Time?
Right Time. I don't know what the Right Time tastes like, but I'm kind of curious. I feel like there might be a beer in the works called Right Time. Is it the right time? Absolutely. This is what it tastes like. It's got a hint of fucking orange zest.
So we... Yeah, it's got... And just a splash of grenadine. Yeah. I'm very curious as to what Right Time, like, it sounds like code for something like, what y'all doing tonight? Oh, you know, drinking some Right Time. You know, Right Time.
Gripe water. There's a whole, I'm going to look this shit up and we're going to see. Oh my God, there's all kinds of different brands of it. What is it? And is it safe for newborns? It's a liquid supplement of sodium bicarbonate and herbs. I thought
you said a liquid soap.
Yeah. I'm not sure what came out. I'm not even going to lie to you. I'm not even sure what came out of my mouth right there. It's a liquid supplement of sodium bicarbonate and herbs. It's basically fucking plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is for babies.
Alka-Seltzer.
Yeah, it's like Alka-Seltzer for babies, it sounds like.
Baby seltzer.
Yeah. Wow. See, I never knew that this shit even existed. That's amazing. Let's see. What does Wikipedia say? Here's the history of it. Oh, it was invented in 1851. And we learned about it in 2024. I've raised three kids and never fucking heard of this shit.
So you know? 73 years. Wait, no, 173.
Yeah, 173 years. Yeah.
So we're a bit behind on the mark for
the
this
original one. Gripe water was 3.6% alcohol. Well, yeah, you got the baby drunk and it shut the fuck up then. Quit your gripe and have some gripe water.
Gripe water. It just sounds like something out of Fallout.
The fucking original slogan. The original slogan was Granny told mother and mother told me. That is the worst fucking slogan ever. That doesn't even make any sense. It feels like a slogan for fucking maxi pads.
Well, for 1851, that's pretty on the bar. I mean,
I think it was 1876. It says that it was patented. That it was patented. And originally marketed it as gripe water, apparently. But yeah, okay. It's a granny told mother and mother told me so, about maxi pads or something like that. Not about gripe water.
Mother, you ever get that not so fresh feeling?
Granny told your mother and your mother told you all about summer's eve.
And then some little cartoon birds come out tweeting.
I said a douche on you.
I said a douche on you.
There's a callback.
That is a callback that no one will get because the original, I'm pretty sure that actually might be on the gaming channel now.
I think it is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is on the gaming channel.
Super long form. Like,
and us probably laughing about it for a period of time that was completely absurd.
Well, it still makes me laugh. I mean, it's just so stupid. If you're interested in what we're talking about, in the description of the video here, or also in, I believe you also can see it in the description for the audio clips.
I know I've seen it on the YouTube, obviously. I don't think on the YouTube. I don't think I've seen it on the Spotify.
Yeah, it should be there, but no matter where you look, you should see a link to our gaming channel, and you can go check that out. And there is like a couple of, I'd say like half a dozen long form videos that are collections of older episodic gameplay videos that we did. And then there's some newer stuff. And then there's been another hiatus because there's always issues. And right now the issues are that I can't get my microphones to work properly with my new computer. So And quite honestly, I haven't given it enough of a try. I'm still relying on this stupid thing. Which, as you can see, looks like thing, it's melting into my
head.
That's
the fucking thing. Yeah. It looks like you've got a magnet in your head and it's pulling that part of the headphone directly into your skull.
Yeah, it's not great.
This is metallic tape. Boop. You know.
I bought another headset, but the microphone doesn't work with my computer, and I don't know why.
How?
There's some issue with like the firmware or something. I have to figure out what it is. I really don't know what it is. But in the meantime, I'm stuck with this ratty old thing. I feel like if it actually breaks in half, the podcast will have to go on pause and I'll have to like seriously dig into and figure out what the hell is wrong with.
This is the podcast for the everyman. We even have janky equipment.
Janky equipment held together with duct tape. Yes, folks, that is duct tape.
And with all of my technical issues, definitely. Although I gotta tell you, we got a new router.
Yeah?
Because my old one finally, just in the middle of the day one day, went, and that was it. But for some reason, because I have an extender that plugged into the router, I was still able to use the internet. Like, basically, the router was just a conduit for the extender to be able to attach. Hmm. And we got a new one, and like I realized I had, this is so embarrassing, I had the shit set up wrong for like the last 2 years. I finally fixed the fucking settings on it.
How was it set up?
I had it set up so that it wasn't like there was two ways to set it up, and one of them was that you were coming off the router and using the extenders, and I had it basically set up so that it was just like the internet came straight into the extenders instead of going to the router and then to the extenders. Like, it was just like a basic setting thing, but I had it wrong all this time.
I see.
Which probably explains some of my connectivity issues.
Sure. Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, yeah. That was all my fault. All this time, it was my fault. it's a humbling experience when you have to say in front of, well, first off, your family, and then whoever happens to listen to this, oh, yeah, that thing we've been bitching about for fucking 2 years. Yeah, that was me. That was all me, because I'm a dope.
So that means that half of this podcast life has been under the wrong configuration file.
Yep. 100%.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, well,
makes sense. It fits. It's
in the better character. That it's taken care of now. And I actually am, right now, I've been looking, just like I have all the things that I need. I just need a tower that's worth a shit.
Yeah.
You know, like I got monitors, I got a keyboard and everything else. I just need a tower. So I'm thinking I'm going to get a decent one, maybe with, you know, 32 gigs of RAM, something like that, so that mm-hmm. I can actually use it for stuff. And
yeah,
hopefully, you know, things will get better.
We can discuss that a little offline.
Yeah.
Here,
yeah.
Because I think that's a conversation worth having. But I think we've petered off into uninteresting territory here.
True. Well, so, I mean, maybe if you care a little bit about the quality of the podcast, it's slightly interesting.
Yeah, but I don't think us piecing together your computer, that actually would be cool if we built your computer as an episode. So this week, I have a song. It's song of the week. Yes, I do. And I'm stalling a little because I can never remember how the hell to pronounce his fucking name or even what it is, like Mizog or Mizerg or something like that. It's M-E-Z-E-R-G, Mizerg or Mezerg.
It's probably literally pronounced Smith.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's this guy who kind of looks like a young Kevin McDonald from the Kids in the Hall, with long, like straight hair, and he's chilling in a full on Canadian tuxedo, you know, like a denim shirt and denim pants, at a console He's got like, he's at a sequencer and there's a theremin and a keyboard and a whole set of pedals on the floor. Mm. And he's just jamming. And the name of the track is 105 BPM Live Music. And you can also find that on Spotify, but it's in our playlist. If you've never seen a theremin before, and I know that that's not a common thing to see, it's basically this metal rod that has current going through it that somehow it attenuates based on its other things in its
yeah.
path.
Proximity of your hand
yeah.
to
yeah.
it and everything. Yeah. Right. It's cool so, shit.
Yeah. So if you watch the video, you'll see him. He's like, bah, 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 like that, like bringing his hand up against it. And he's running the feedback out into a sound sequence, like a sound generator of some kind. But I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. It reminds me a little bit of, the artist, author and Punisher. I don't know if we've ever talked about him on the show. Have we?
I don't think so. No, not that I remember.
He's an industrial musician who,
you don't say,
about as industrial as they get, because he actually built, like, he's got degrees in electrical engineering, mechanical engineering. And so he built this whole kit, like he's got this thing. It's like a, I want to call it like a throttle, and it's on a track, and each one of the tracks has a sensor on it. So as he's moving it back and forth, like shuttling it back and forth, it's creating this wah, 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 kind of a sound. And it's very mechanical and organic at the same time. It's a really cool sound. But that's not our music of the week. Our music of the week is something else. So I'll have Author and Punisher here on another episode.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do that, and I'll do whatever the fuck the one was I said earlier that I forgot about already.
Yep.
Yeah. All yep. right.
Hopefully you haven't forgotten this week's song of the week.
I did not. Mainly because I only sent it to you 45 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. Ish. Mm-hmm. And that was Prong. And what's the title? What's the title of the track?
Have you forgotten? Are you?
Do you just remember?
Yeah, Whose Fist Is This Anyway?
Yes. That was like a song from our formative years.
Well, I was just thinking that this really took me back when I was listening to it. I was sitting there, and the first thing I was thinking of was that I had worked at Kmart when this album came out, and you used to come in there because I'd be in electronics and you'd come in sometimes and we'd be checking out CDs, which were terrible to buy at Kmart because they were always like the explicit.
Yeah, the censored versions.
Censored versions, right?
Yeah.
But there was this kiosk, this sort of digital kiosk, touchscreen thing. Very mm-hmm. early iteration of the tech that you see all over the place now. And you could listen to different cuts from different albums that were sold in the store. And one of them was this song. Or maybe it was Snap Your Fingers, Snap Your Neck. It was one of those two yeah. tracks. And the other was The Bear Goat Went Over the Mountain by Green Jelly. And you would come into my department and you would play that fucking thing over and over and over and over again.
It sounds like something I might have done.
And it made me also think, because this is around the time the Jerky Boys were really popular. Do you remember how popular the Jerky Boys were?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, inexplicably. So to the point where they had a fucking movie.
Yes.
A movie about making prank phone calls.
Yeah. And, I mean, the offshoots of that, like, you know, Crank Yankers and uh-huh. all kinds of other shit on Comedy Central.
Right.
It started a whole obnoxious thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we realized when we were in our teens just how obnoxious the Jerky Boys
oh,
were.
Oh, no. We thought it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Now
you rub an ass sand on my ass neck.
It still is really funny because of what they said. It had more to do with the characters than it had to do with the fact that they were harassing normal people.
It's amazing to revisit.
It is amazing
from our childhood. It's a fun time.
It is. Well, I,
which
you
is
know,
why
Jerky
I picked
Boys,
this song today.
Jerky Boys actually put out an album not so long ago, and it's still pretty much on par with what you would expect. Hmm. It's a little sad though, because these guys have to be in like their 50s now.
Right.
It's like, hey Johnny, I'm a little low on money. Yeah, me too. Kamal, why don't we just make some phone calls? I'm desperate.
Yeah, we'll scare up some jerky money.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, I know there's people that still do this shit and think it's hilarious.
Well, I have seen a lot of it in the form of YouTube pranksters or like TikTok pranksters or
bunch of unoriginal shits.
Pranksters. Well, not only the unoriginal, but they're disruptive and obnoxious. They just show up in public places and do stupid shit. And then, you know, you hear about them getting the shit kicked out of them and you're like, oh, poor baby.
Did you know that we put up a music playlist? Drop by our YouTube channel and scroll down till you see recommended songs by Tom and Mike. Inside you'll find over 2 hours of music handpicked by Mike, our guests, and I, updated weekly. YouTube.com/@StoryTimeWithTomAndMike.
Somebody that I was talking to was speaking to a person who consumes a lot of news. Well, sorry.
Okay.
News.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sure.
Watches the OLNs, the Newsmaxes, the Fox News of the world. Mm-hmm. And this particular individual is a senior citizen.
What a shock.
Really? What? And you never guess, they're white too. But
you don't say.
They said, basically, damned. I have a solution to the immigration problem.
Oh boy.
And the solution that they came up with was that the United States sell immigrants to Ukraine to fight in the war. And okay, that's not bad enough. This is called human trafficking, which I think most people are against. Then went on to further this by saying, you know, the president has the power and authority to do that, to sell immigrants, to traffic humans. I was just like, this stifled me to the extent that I want to say, like, 3-4 days later, I was still going, but how could you possibly believe that that was the case? How could you possibly be that, I'm sorry, for lack of a better word, naive or plain ignorant to think that that's the case? And then you realize that you've got these yutzes peddling this shit, and some people just absolutely refuse to think for themselves.
It's just a matter of we've become so dumb as a culture. We've become so simple-minded and easily led and manipulated and worn down, basically. Our critical thinking skills have been worn down, eroded. And how many people do you know who use critical thinking skills? Like,
not very many.
Not very many. Yeah.
And I gotta be honest. Like, people that would be in positions that I would think, as you know, I'm managers of places and stuff like that, that you would think would have those skills still. Like, it's starting to become less and less than it was before, to the point that you can, like, it's obvious that people aren't using it, because those of us that do go, whoa, how the fuck did you miss that? Where did you come up with that to, you know, stuff? It just doesn't make sense anymore.
Well, it's
embarrassing.
It's a systemic erosion of just, I don't know.
I can't remember where I saw the term, but the dumbing down of America was, I feel like I heard this way before the 2000s.
I'm sure you did.
And that term has always stuck in my head because it's so true.
Well, I was just talking to a friend earlier today, and we had been talking about the fact that it seems that sort of, it's like no one knows how to form an argument anymore. And no one really has any awareness of logical fallacies. You know, that it's like they're unaware of what a logical fallacy is, and therefore are extremely susceptible to those. And you know, I need to send this to you. I found a thing on Reddit last night about this woman who, not this woman, but this woman was talking about this principal, like a student, like a high school principal.
Mm-hmm.
Was earlier this year suspended and put on administrative leave because of making racist and anti-Semitic comments about students and staff to another member of the faculty. And at the time, this principal said, "Well, I didn't say those things. I would never say those things. And I believe that this is manufactured. And I think I know who manufactured it. I think it's the athletics director for the school, because we've recently had some rocky conversations, and I know that they're deeply into tech stuff and AI and brag about being into AI." Well, here, about 6 months later, finally, these people have investigated and arrested the athletics director for doing exactly that. They basically fed a conversation into a computer and had it generate this guy's voice based on recordings that they already had.
Mm-hmm.
Which you don't need much anymore to do that and have it be really realistic. To the point where they had to investigate it and had a lead, and that lead is what led them to realize that this guy had like the software on his computer and like had been using company resources to research it as well. And you know, maybe not as smart as they thought they were, right?
Well, I mean, I appreciate that kind of dumbing down when you're stupid enough to leave a fucking trail.
But what I'm saying is now we're already dumb. We already lack critical thinking skills. Those critical thinking skills are exactly the things that make you go, did what I just see make sense? Is what I just see factual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it manufactured? And if you lack that, then it becomes easier to pass these things through your radar unchecked. And basically, it's terrifying. We're in a terrifying place in the world right now.
Like, yeah, I would tend to agree.
Yeah, it's only going to get weirder, too. I keep saying that, and I've been saying it for years. But it scares the shit out of me how weird it could get.
I don't think that anybody's going to be safe at some point. I don't think anybody's going to be safe, because I really feel like as scammers get these more accessible means by which to fake things,
mm-hmm.
like, oh, well, isn't that your voice? Well, right. No. Well, it sure sounds like your voice. And in fact, the patterns match up, and we did a voice analysis, and you know, the tone, timbre, and everything else is correct. So please tell me how it's not your voice. You know, like,
yep.
That's fucking terrifying.
Yep. No to think one that that will shit, be safe. Yeah. No one will be safe. You're
you piss somebody right. off at work, and they do your make a something with your voice and AI, and call the boss and tell him he's a cocksucker and that you quit. And guess what? You're out of a job. You know. Yep. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, and if you're not some big school, at big city, big school kind of situation where you're going to get a lot of news media, you're just, that's your life.
Yeah.
Down the drain. You know? Think about both of us. How many hours of content have we produced?
Oh my God. They literally have us angry, happy, down, up, you know,
sick, healthy, yeah.
There's probably not a vocal tone of ours that hasn't been covered,
right,
in that time frame,
right, or a word or consonant or vowel or something that hasn't been said that could have us saying just anything. Hell, we could But there's probably going to be podcasts. This scares me, but also amuses me. There's going to be podcasts that don't exist. Do you know what I mean when I say that? Like, yeah, that where the host
completely generated.
Completely generated.
Mm-hmm.
Never even listened to by the people that put it out.
So it's like, I really feel right, like
that's going to happen, dude. You watch.
I really feel like there is one already that is everything that they do. It is two people that talk, mind you. It's the beginning of it, though, to me. I want to say it's two relatively famous comedians that do one where the whole thing is like AI directed.
Okay.
And I can't remember. I think Will Sasso and somebody else. I can't fucking think of who else is in it with them. You look it up. I know that it's I may be describing this all wrong, and unfortunately I can't look anything up. You know how that is.
The AI God is Born, episode 54, Dudsey, with Will Sasso and Chad Hultgen.
Whoever the fuck that is.
Welcome to Dudsey. Entertainment professionals and long time friends Will Sasso and Chad Hultgen have been selected by a first of a kind AI to host this groundbreaking podcast.
It feels like the first step in in the wrong direction for that kind of stuff, you know. Can it be entertaining? Absolutely. Is it something that somebody could, you know, use to for nefarious purposes or as a model for that? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, not only that, but I think it's completely inauthentic.
I like nefarious, by the way. I just want to say that. It's a good word. It's a good word.
Yeah, I like the word calliope.
I know you do.
And I like
I've never forgotten what calliope music is because of you. And that is forever ingrained in my brain. If you happen to pass before me, I will fucking bring that shit up at your wake.
Oh, good.
And I trust you to do the same.
With calliope music?
Oh, just I need you to throw in a do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do and laugh, you know, or cry, whatever. Yeah.
What do you think about?
We got like way off topic there.
Yeah, we sure did.
Heavy stuff.
Heavy than light and heavy than light. It's like a delicious beverage that has layers based on the different.
It's the tiramisu of podcasts.
That's the title, the tiramisu of podcasts.
It was either going to be that or try not to get kidnapped and sold by the president. Is that was the one of those things that just like I couldn't believe, because senior citizen or no, that's fucking insane.
Well, and the thing is, it's probably based very, very loosely on something that's true, but deeply, deeply misunderstood. Like he's probably like this person is probably thinking of like Rex 84. Where the internment camps that they put all the Chinese people or the Japanese people during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's probably thinking, oh, yeah, we can just do that. And you know, they did that to Japanese people. Like, you know, in his head, he's like, they brought them over here. And
But selling them?
Yeah.
I don't think they sold the Japanese people out of the internment camps.
No, they did not. But what I'm saying is that...
Come on in and check out the family. We'll sell them to you.
That's the dig. That's the point of, like, where the thinking starts, is what I'm saying. But then it's just flawed misunderstanding after flawed misunderstanding after flawed misunderstanding.
You know, I mean, I could see it being tied into slavery, where they honestly did sell people and human trafficking and internment camps. I guess if you mixed all those things together in a smelly old fucking kettle and cooked them up, you could come up with something like that, perhaps.
Well, yeah. All I'm concerned with is that you find a way to revoke this man's ability to vote.
If you can. That would be nice.
Yeah, but there should be like some kind of like like screening surf system that takes place. Like, I mean, we're going that direction anyway, where everything we say and do is being monitored. So we might as well make good use of it and just imply some basic statutes that once you've said or done a thing, your vote is valid no longer. Like when you say, for example, that we're going to take advantage of Jewish space lasers to better defend our country, we're going to work with the people who do that. Like, yeah, you're insane. Not only should you not be in public office, but you shouldn't even be allowed to vote at this point.
Shouldn't really be allowed in public, let's be quite honest.
Yeah.
But then this woman is going to collect a pension on our tax dollars for the rest of her life.
Well, not our tax dollars. I don't think she's out of, like, or is she a congresswoman?
I think so. I gotta be honest with you. That sometimes confuses me with some of them, and yeah. I don't
she's
remember.
She's a rep. Okay.
I just remember she's got nasty feet.
Yeah, she's
Spork
she's
foot.
A representative of the state of Georgia, so our tax dollars aren't doing anything for her. It's, I think, or is she? Well, I don't know who gets paid. What.
Yeah, that's just it. I don't understand how that shit works. I just know that, you know, that's horseshit.
She is an awful. You can't find a picture of her without a fucking flag.
And or a really dumb look on her face.
Or both.
Yelling a lot.
I see that, you know, like people wonder why I don't fly the flag on my flagpole in front of my house. And the reason why is because, unfortunately, and this is coming from a patriot, mind you, a real patriot, not some bullshit, oh, I'm a patriot, I bought gold-plated shoes. You know, like none of that shit. I bought a Bible with a special chapter in it devoted to the president. For $50, it was a great investment, and it will allow me into the kingdom of heaven.
I just want you to imagine for a second, if you will, a sideling. Yeah, it's a baby sideling. It's so cute. Imagine if a Democrat came out and sold a fucking Bible.
Oh yeah, anybody else.
Heads would explode. Literally explode.
I think even another Republican candidate couldn't pull it off.
It's ridiculous.
There's no other guy who could pull it off. That's how far gone he is and how far gone his follower base is. That they have not burned him in effigy yet. You know, and make no mistake, when you have angered a cult, they will turn on their leader and it will be ugly. When the chips fall, it will be so ugly. Or he may... See, the thing that scares me is that no matter what happens with that son of a bitch right now, is that he's going to be martyred for it in some way.
Oh, yeah.
If he dies of some disease or old age or whatever, heart attack, something like that... or if someone does something to him in any one of those situations, he's a martyr. If he survives, he's the hero that they expect. No matter what happens to him, no matter if he goes to jail, stays free, stays in Mar-a-Lago until the sun burns out of the sky like some kind of fucking vampire, they're still going to love him and idolize him forever. And when he's dead, there will be rumors about him still walking the earth. And you watch. People will say he will return. Guess it. People will say it. People will say it. This is how these cults, that's how, I mean, if you think about it, it's not all that different from what people said 2,000 years ago about another cat. Who, we don't know if he was any good.
David Koresh,
yes.
2,000 years ago.
It's the story of Jesus all over again. Mm-hmm. You give it another 150 years and people will attribute all kinds of Christian and Messiah type imagery to it to make it seem like it was always that way. But if you look at Christ and the Messiah story, that's an old story. It goes back well before Jesus. You know, it goes back many, many, many thousands, like thousands of years, I think. You know, there were versions of it in different countries in different parts of the world. Zoroaster, Krishna, Ra, I think a Greek god as well. Zoroaster, did I mention Zoroaster?
I don't know.
All I know is that like the whole figure of a being on the cross, the idea of original sin, the idea of being born without original sin, the baptism, all those things have recurred again and again and again throughout history. And every time they've been like, nope, this is the first time. Ignore that stuff. No, it's nothing, nothing, nothing. This is a new idea. You should enjoy it. You know, and it's very fascinating to me how short memories and a lack of context allows us to, again, be manipulated. Things haven't changed all that much. They're just very, very, very effective now. You know? Much more so. And really only because you have... With television, you can say, all right, everyone's watching the same thing, so we'll centralize the message, right? And that's exactly what has been done for such a long time. But now you have people who are spending more time reading things and watching videos on the internet. And it's modular. You can plug in things in any order according to your algorithm. So what you see appears to be curated for you by your likes and interests, but it's really more curated to you based on what you'll upvote and downvote. If you interact with it, you get more of it, I've noticed. And then basically you're just like their product. You're there to promote their content by sharing it. If you're more likely to share it, you're more likely to see it.
That's why I've regretted upvoting Urethral Sounding as often as I have.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot more of it than I mean, I really filled my appetite.
Well, you know, you come to these times in life where you realize that it's no longer useful for you anymore, Mike.
Well,
it no longer serves you. There was
a dream of turning my penis into
a docking carry-all station. Yeah.
A carry-all for things, you know, coin purse, pencils, you know.
When you told me that you got one of those little beach umbrella thingies and stuck it in there and opened it all the way up.
Yeah.
I was so proud of you. But I just think now...
That's when I was going through my beer cozy phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's time to let it go. Maybe work it... You know, you have a history with butt plugs. Maybe work back into butt plugs in a new way. You know,
butt plugs.
Oh no!
Oh wait, I'm still sticking things in my pee.
You gotta let that go.
You're right. I was automatically. That's right where my brain went.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's not difficult, but I think you have the right motivation here to. Shed your skin, so to speak, to molt, to slither out of that old constrictive belief system and try something new, you know, that doesn't involve sticking things in your pee hole and getting it all bent out of shape.
There will be a new fetish on the horizon.
There you go. You know, maybe I'm
gonna let it find me.
I was gonna say you could invent a fetish.
It's true.
There's always something. I mean, you know, there's nothing new, but there's not always new iterations of things. Like, you could have a fetish for, like, I don't know, baking soda.
I thought about taking and putting pins in each of my freckles and attaching them all with thread. Yeah.
What would you call that?
I don't know right now. That's got to have a
name, like networking. That's networking.
Yeah, Freckle Network.
Yeah.
Freck working.
Yeah. That's the title of the episode, Freck Working.
It's off the wall.
It's so stupid, but I love it. Freck Working. I love a good portmanteau, man. What can I say? As I've mentioned before, I think on the show, my wife likes to watch Homicide Files, Joe Kenda.
Yeah, I got the same thing going on in my house, bro.
And honestly, it's a well enough made show that I find myself quite frequently caught up in it when it's on. Like, I don't seek it out. It's not something like, wow, I can't wait to binge watch 8 hours of gruesome murder. I don't get that. That is so a Jennifer thing, and not just a Jennifer thing. I know that a lot of women in particular like true crime. And yeah. I asked that someone once, and she said to me, well, because we feel helpless. And I was like, that's a damn good reason. You know, that's a really good reason, actually.
I mean, I could see maybe being interested in it because of that, but are you watching it because you feel helpless and you're looking at tips to not be helpless? That was always my concern. I'm like, if I ever turn up dead under some weird, mysterious circumstances, you know where to look first.
So we're watching Joe Kenda, and I'm watching him, and I'm like, here's this grave, serious man.
Very deadpan.
Very deadpan with
I don't have any kind of emotion when I talk about things.
Yeah.
And all these criminals are idiots. What do you think about that?
Even when I emote, I'm very, very deadpan.
Yeah.
I wanted to put my gun in his mouth and pull the trigger. But even more, I wanted to get a confession.
Like that was straight up. Yeah.
His style of delivery is second to none.
Yeah. Well, he's entertaining, and he's obviously a good storyteller, and that's why they gave him a show, right?
Yeah.
But a couple of things, I have a couple of notes for the producers of that show. First and foremost, young Joe Kenda looks nothing like old Joe Kenda, not even a little bit. Young Joe Kenda looks kind of like, I don't know, John Connor.
He was a cast-off for being an extra on the... in the John Wick movies or something.
Yeah.
Like tall, dark, and handsome. And you're like, I know for a fact he did not fucking look like that.
No, I looked it up. He looks nothing like, he just looks like a goobery, younger version of himself.
Yeah.
With the same haircut.
Yeah.
That shapeless, crushed to the side in the front at the same time somehow, but not either, but both somehow, haircut that he has. You know, that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He's like, he just went to the barber and said, I don't care. Just fuck my shit up.
He's like, give me the Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, yeah,
and pretty much. There it is, yeah.
Yeah. Give me a haircut that requires as little maintenance as possible without me being bald.
He's just...
Yep,
yeah.
There you go, sir. Permanent part. But even though... none of the actors, that's the thing that kills me. None of the actors come anywhere close to the actual suspects. And that brings me to point two. Would you, say you were a part of Central Casting, would you accept a role as a criminal on one of these shows, given how little they refer to the fact that the persons that you're seeing are in dramatic recreations and not the actual criminals, considering how we have established throughout the evening here tonight
how gullible
people have become,
yeah,
where they're writing death threats to people like the actor who played Joffrey Baratheon in Game of Thrones, saying, mm-hmm, you should die.
Like, fucking, you go to Walmart and somebody calls the police on you because they saw you on Joe Kenda's thing and you got away with a murder or something, you know? That's exactly the kind of shit that'll happen.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm like, would you accept a job as an actor on that show? I don't know that I would.
I think that would be an interestingly researched decision.
Yeah.
To be like, well, okay, how much does this pay again? And are you going to flash, or should I wear a shirt that says I am an actor and this is a portrayal or what? Because I don't need to get my ass in a sling because of this. How'd you lose your job? Well, a guy thought that I was the murderer on a Jocanda episode.
And here's the take home here. This is how despondent we've become as a nation, I guess. Is that here I am wondering whether or not people are smart enough to watch a cop show by themselves without their hands being held. And apparently, I mean, I guess the answer is no in some cases. People are just...
There's one thing that I've realized from watching or from the evolution of the way that... I don't know, the less liberal, maybe, contingency in this country works, is that they went from not liking cops to being obsessed with watching cop shows. Like, oh, I don't like the cops. They're too nosy and get involved in everything. The government's too in my business. So now they're always watching shows about cops. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I do absolutely see them, people, you know, watching these shows all the time.
Well, you've got people who are like, there's like a lot of like weird, you know, there's the all cops are bastards mentality. And then there's the, I'm going to fuck with a cop if I see him in public doing their job. And like, it's like, why would you do that? Would you poke a fucking beehive too? You know, like
if that guy get enough likes.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, and that's what it comes down to, isn't it? It is some asshole with a camera in their hand who thinks that they're the next big thing, that they're going to be a billionaire or a millionaire and live in some beautiful estate because they triggered on the right virality for their video. So and once you start down that path, it's like the dark side. Forever will it consume your destiny. You'll forever being out there. I love to think about, like, okay, give me any viral video you've seen lately. Just describe one.
I mean, I'll give you one that irritates the shit out of me. And this isn't a new one, but it's one that's apparently made a comeback. Tourette's dad.
Okay.
You're aware of that?
No.
There's a guy that has Tourette's that always seems to have like a neck brace on. He's like, oh, god damn it, I will fucking, you know, like guy. Always yelling about shit and everything. Like, he went away and supposedly died, but now he's making a comeback. And they're the most scripted, unoriginal, you know, nonsense, and people fucking eat it up.
So, great, perfect example. Now think, whoever is doing that, they have some lackey, some schmuck, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse, a partner, somebody. A family member, somebody who is at their beck and call. Oh, I got an idea. Turn on the camera. I'm going to do the thing. Just keep recording it. And then watching them go through take after take after take after take, so that they can upload that to the internet and continue their little scheme. And I think about like these, you know, like Instagram, you go on Instagram, you flip through, and then there's some gorgeous girl. Makeup is perfect. Hair is perfect. Lighting is perfect. She's got the right filters running on and everything. So she looks like a Disney princess, and she does this, flips her hair, and that repeats ad nauseum, 10 seconds of video over and over again. 10 million views, 10 million likes, everything. How many times did she do that hair flip before she said in her narcissistic little brain, that's good enough, you know? And that is all any of these people are doing, is just feeding their own narcissism and sitting there and going, oh, that one makes me look like an asshole. No, that one. Oh, that one looks good. Yeah, that one where I'm swearing incoherently. That's the one that looks best for me. That's the one that best fits my brand.
Isn't that the way you pick the thumbnails? What is my best look that makes Mike look funky? Let me see. Yeah, I'm just joking about that.
It's a lot of times it's that the best moments are when you're laughing, and when you're laughing, you look a little goony.
I'm okay really, with that. I laugh a lot, so I'm cool with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'd love to sit here and talk about this and wax philosophic on Joe Kenda just a little bit longer and his highly unremarkable haircut, although it is kind of Leslie Nielsen-ish, which makes me think of like the Naked Gun movies or what have you. I just looked at the clock and we are out of time, so that's going to have to be a story and a conversation for another time.
Thank you for tuning in to Storytime with Tom and Mike. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed giving it to you.
I'm giving it to you like I'm giving you the thoughts about, you know, urethral sounding again, because we haven't talked about that in a while. Enjoy. Bye.